Welcome to The Breakdown, where we dig deeper into Sunday sermon, talk about life, and encourage you in your walk with Jesus.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Breakdown. I'm pretty excited this week. We have Brian on the podcast since he preached. So say hello, Brian.
Hey, how we doing? Glad to be here, man.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. I always enjoy talking about the sermon with you. I don't know. Last time we did it, I was super pumped. I got left amped. Good. Not that I don't with Nick, sure, but it's just like this extra like get up and go.
Okay.
So
it's a good little change up sometimes. It helps make things fresh. You know, just it happens that way.
Yeah, I like it too. So we'll get right into it. I have some questions because the sermon really, you talked about this banquet and you had this cool setup. You know, you had the candle, yep. You had the plates, the fine dining. And so I was thinking about banquets this week. And so my first question is, when you think of a banquet, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
The first thing is the food.
Food?
Yeah. The food's always, I like food. And that usually I'm like, what's on the menu is what I'm worried about. Now there's other things after that, but that's probably number one is I'm thinking, okay, what's on the menu, man?
And sometimes they'll send it like on the little RSVP or whatever. Sure. You'll get, you know, the menu. Here's what's to eat. Just in case you have, you know, a kid that's maybe picky or maybe you're picky and you're like, well, I don't know if I want lamb chops or whatnot. I have to eat before I go. Man, I was thinking of this. I think food is a good answer. But always think of like the decor.
Okay.
You know, you have the fancy napkins. You have way too many forks that you don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
Especially if you're not used to like that sort of, you know, fine dining.
You're trying to pick up off everybody else what they're doing first. Like, okay,
yeah.
They look sophisticated. Why don't I do that too?
You know, and they have no idea either. They're just guessing. They just had the confidence to just go at it. So always think of like the really cool napkins. They're always fancy. Maybe sometimes they're like in a cool shape or, you know. And so that kind of made me think of like, what else is at a banquet? And we talked about food. And my next question is, what would be like the perfect banquet food for you?
Perfect banquet food. I always enjoy when the, I don't know what you call them, but the dude at the end of the table that's shaving the meat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like a Brazilian.
Yeah, like even Brazilian or anything, like just a, like one of my favorite ones was I was at a wedding. It's kind of a banquet, you know? And there was this, I've never heard of this piece of meat. It was called a steamboat.
Okay.
It was the biggest piece of like, like beef. Like it was
like a whole cow.
Like, it was huge. I'm like, what is that called? And it was like this huge roast beef. Like I'm talking, it must have been 60 or 70 pounds. It was a monster.
Wow.
And I was like, they're like, that's called a steamboat. I'm like, wow. Like that's crazy. But it was great. I mean, it was.
Now we know why you have cows at your house. Cause one day we're going to have a steamboat banquet. Right?
I'm for it. I never even Googled it to see if it's legit. If that guy was just like, you know, he was working the wedding and is like, I'm just going to start telling people.
Yeah, making up stuff.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, I don't know if they had him here, but like Ryan's, like the buffet Ryan's would always go to after church and there'd always be that one guy like cutting the meat and just handing it out. Like, oh man, I like you. You're a cool guy.
Do you want some more?
Yes. Yeah. The answer is always yes.
Exactly.
He's like, let me fill your plate up.
Right.
No pun intended for what we're going to talk about.
Exactly. Like, I know the boss told you to shave a little bit, but I'll take a little bit more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I always think of, man, I do think of weddings. And I'd love, and I think the longer I'm away from South Louisiana, the more that I'm going to think about this, is just having like a Cajun-style buffet banquet with like boudin, cracklings, gumbo, jambalaya, some etouffee. Like that's going to make me.
What was the first one you said?
Boudin.
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, you don't know.
I'm not from there,
oh,
man.
Oh, dude. Okay, all right. Well, next time you go to New Orleans, I'm going to make sure that you get some boudin. Or next time my parents come up, they normally bring some. It's voodoo? Voodoo. No, it's not voodoo.
Okay.
Not doing voodoo. Boudin.
Boudin.
Yeah. It's like it's almost like rice and some ground meat in this kind of like skin.
Whoa.
They say it's like pig skin intestine kind of thing, but it's not. Okay. It's good. You just have to trust me.
Wow.
I think you would like it.
I don't know. I'm one of those guys you were talking about a minute ago, the picky eater. Like,
I know.
For many years of my life, I'm getting better. Like as the older I get,
but yeah.
Gosh, I was a picky eater till I was probably like 42. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so not that long ago.
No, not that long ago.
I'll have to get you some. It's pretty good. Now here's the last thing I think about with banquets, which is probably the most important, is the people that you're sitting by, right?
Definitely.
So I think this question has been asked before. If you could pick one person to invite to the banquet, whether dead or alive, who are you inviting?
And I'm not going to answer Jesus because that's too easy, right?
It.
I mean, it's too easy. Man, I brought him up in my sermon. It was like one of the people I kind of talked about, a different banquet, like the one at heaven, you know, like I talked about my grandpa, yeah. Charlie, and he would be a guy I would love to sit down with. I look forward to seeing him again. Like, that would probably be my grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
And there's lots of other famous people who pop to mind, but
yeah, yeah.
He would be the one that, okay, it's great to meet a famous person, but okay, that was, are you just going to name drop and say I had dinner with?
Yeah, just to use it.
Yeah, yeah. Whoever, you know, Michael Jordan, whatever, whoever's on your wall as a kid, you
yeah,
know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'd rather spend another meal with him, probably.
Yeah. And like you said, man, one day we will.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
It is great.
Man, I had trouble thinking about this one. Because like you said, you didn't want to take the easy way out. Your answer is so good. I think I'd want to do like maybe like right after the Bible is written. Maybe somebody like Titus maybe, but like maybe a little after, like
okay.
The disciple of Titus. Like somebody that was there at the beginning, like saw the church grow and just like ask him questions. Like, what was it like?
Sure.
Learning from these people that, you know, I mean, sometimes I guess we can fall into idolizing them like Paul, but like just seeing him preach, well, what did that do for you?
Right.
Because it obviously had an effect on people. Like he was always pointing people towards the gospel. And so I'd like to talk to somebody who interacted with one of the disciples.
Sure.
Just have a meal with them.
Sure.
Pick their brain. So
that'd be cool.
But the sermon really was focused on this great banquet, and we find Jesus telling a parable in Luke 14 about this banquet. And kind of give us a synopsis. What is Jesus talking about in this banquet?
Sure. Jesus is telling what he does often in Scripture, just telling a story. You know, church people, we call him a parable, but he's telling the story of a guy who throws a great banquet, and he wants... Let's invite his friends. And it sounds like he invites three guys, and they all give him some excuses why they can't come. And then the servant comes back and he's like, hey, they all gave me these different excuses. And the guy who's throwing the banquet's like, hey, I want my table full. So go out and call the poor, call the oppressed, call whoever and get them in here. And he's like, I've already done that. They're still not there. And he's like, hey, okay, I want you to go in further. I'll go into the country roads and I can't remember the other term it uses in Scripture, but just I want my house full.
Yeah,
is what Jesus says here.
I like it. So what we're planning on doing is just kind of going through those three different people, looking at the excuse they gave, and just kind of breaking that down, and maybe man, really taking a look at ourselves. Like, what excuse am I giving? And we're going to get into it. But the first person we find in verse 18, and he says, hey, can't make it to the banquet. I just bought a field.
Sure.
And you made this side note about, man, what a lame excuse.
Right.
Like, he just bought a field. We would hope he already knew what it looked like.
Sure.
You know, but he wants to go and check it.
Is it not going to be there after the banquet? I mean,
I know, right? Like,
I don't understand it either. But
he didn't think that it was going away, and so this week, I was thinking, why would you use that as an excuse? Like, are you trying to show your status? Like, oh, I just bought this because I have money. Like, I'm going to provide for myself at this field. Like, I'm going to eventually throw a banquet, and I'll just go to that banquet type thing. Like, are we putting too much stock in ourself and our ability? And we're like, oh, your banquet, it's just, it's not for me. Like, sure. And I thought about that with the gospel, because essentially Jesus is saying, hey, come to me, I'm going to fill you. And how we, especially, I mean, I find myself like, well, your ability is going to save you, like what you do, which I'm going to get into in my sermon. Like, James tells us to do things, but he says it's not what you do that saves you. Mm-hmm. It's what Jesus has offered and already done for us, like, not in our abilities.
You know, maybe he's trying to say, make what's important, but look how important this is. It's, I've bought a piece of property.
Yeah.
He's trying to get something that's maybe as, he's trying to get on that level of importance. And he's saying, well, look, this is really important. I bought some property. I bought some real estate. Like, that's a pretty important thing. I mean, you know, and he's trying to say,
back then, too.
Like, that was, not a lot of people had property, but maybe he's trying to say, look how, I know your banquet's important, but look how important this thing is I'm doing. Sorry, I can't come. Here's my best excuses.
Yeah.
Is that.
I didn't think it that way, but it makes sense, because like the master of the banquet's given his best.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just throw a banquet and you're like, here's some chicken tenders and french fries.
Sure.
Like, it's the best of the best. And so he's saying, hey, here's my best. Like, I got to go handle this.
Yeah. I didn't get to get into it Sunday because it was on the sermon cutting room floor. But
yeah.
I read this past week, I was researching like the banquet stuff, and they talked about how a banquet in that time was so big because food was not as ready. It was more scarce. Mm-hmm. And anytime there was a wedding or a banquet, like it was a, like people, you know, it was usually that's when a lot of times when they would have meat, because a lot of times they didn't have meat every day, you know, like it was just like a huge honor to be invited to something like this, even more than today, you know, because we're like, well, like, I'll eat dinner even if I'm not going to the banquet, but this would have been a really special invite. Mm. I kind of cut that and maybe I should have kept it in, but I didn't know how important it was to be. Right. To hit that, you know, I didn't want to be too long.
So the podcast is about, man.
That's right.
All the stuff you cut out. Yeah. I mean, and that would have made sense of why the master's been frustrated by these people that have given them, we'll see excuses that we could be like, oh yeah, well that makes sense. Like, but he's frustrated. He's like, I've done all this. Like, I mean, think about God thinks of, I sent my son to die for you.
Right.
And you make excuses.
What's more important than that, huh? What do you
get? Nothing. I just bought a piece of land. Like,
no, come on. It doesn't work.
Yeah. The second guy, he buys these oxen, right?
Yeah.
Says, I gotta get to work. Gotta try them out. Gotta make sure they work right. You know, oxen were important. That's what gave you the ability to eat, you know, to grow things. And so this guy, you talk about... He's a consumer, but he actually, this may be for a good reason. Like, work and responsibility is a good thing.
Yeah.
And really, you talked about really all these guys, there's nothing inherently wrong with buying a field or buying oxen.
No.
But when we use it as an excuse, when we put it on a pedestal, like you kind of wrap up, when you elevate things to it's the most important, that's where we have an issue at.
Sure.
And this guy is saying that, you know, he could be too busy. He's saying, my plate is full. I need to work, because this is what's going to save me. This is what's going to lead me to my end goal. You know, I feel like in the parable, the banquet is a one-time event. This guy is maybe thinking long-term. He's like, I gotta plow my fields. I got to get ready for the harvest. And Jesus is saying, hey, the harvest is here.
Right.
Like, it's already, the work has already been done.
Yep.
Just come to me.
Yep.
So good.
Let's do that.
Yeah. I never really put those things together until, you know, just now when I was looking at your notes. That's cool. Like, how, I don't know. Even, I guess I'm having a moment right now, and I don't want to pause it and think it through, but like,
sure.
Our excuses are trying to lead us. Like, whatever we're doing is trying to lead us to some sort of what we believe is salvation.
Yeah.
And Jesus is like, Brennan, it's already been done.
Right.
Stop. It's come in joy.
You know, every time I look at other religions, it's do, right? You got to do this, give alms or go here or live this type of life. And we have the only religion where it's not do, it's done, right? Mm-hmm. It's done for us. But so often we miss the invitation, right? We make an excuse, and I do it all the time. You know, I can't tell you how many nights I go home and, you know, usually my time with the Lord where I try to get my plate, filled is usually in the morning time. You know, it's not the only time, but if let's say I miss that, I go home and, you know, you're looking through Netflix or you're looking through whatever streaming you have or TV, yeah, and you're like, you know what? It's an hour. I'll just do that before I fall asleep or hop on a video game. Like, I could give you 8 different things I could do, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So often I'm like, excuses. I'll do it after this. And then you're too tired. You don't, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. And then you feel empty.
Yeah.
And then if that continues on, then you're just like, man, I'm in a funk. Yeah. Like, and it's because we've neglected coming to the table, like you said. I mean, it's the same in really any area of our life. When we nix Jesus out of it, like it just begins to fall apart.
Sure.
Like, there's only so long that it will sustain on itself. I mean, you think about relationships. You stop talking to a friend or you stop communicating with your wife, it's eventually going to deteriorate.
Yep.
Like, those things need something more. And Jesus is saying, I have what you need.
Sure.
Just come to me.
Yep.
It's so simple.
Yep.
And we complicate it. Like, I'm noticing, and I feel like whenever I sermon prep, that's when it's like, all right, this is for you, not for anybody else in the church. Like,
so many times, man. Isn't that weird how you...
It's so weird.
Like, nobody else may get anything from this, but
yeah,
golly, every time you do right or you speak or devo, it's like, preach. There's so many times we're on, like, front row. This is for me. Like, and that's good, right? We should.
Absolutely.
We should. We're not above it. Like, we should be in the front row, right?
Yeah.
It's important.
Especially whenever Nick's like, hey, you have free reign of your topic. And you're like, oh, man, I know God's going to pull one out, and I'm just going to be like a bullseye right on my forehead. And this week I'm preaching on listening and doing. Yeah. It's like, Brennan, why don't you listen?
Sure.
Why are you distracting yourself with all these things?
Sure.
It's useless.
Right.
Listen. Be quiet. It's crazy how that happens. Anyway, the last person is really – interesting, because it's like, hey, I can't come. I just got married. I think for majority of people, even for myself, I'm like, that's a good excuse.
Right.
Dude got married. It's a celebration.
Sure.
Especially when two Christians get married, you're like, man, that's a covenant. It's showing the covenant of God. Like, but he uses an excuse, and it's in a negative way in here.
Right.
But like you said in your sermon, like, this is not the most important thing. Marriage is not the ultimate thing. And I think that's where, I mean, I'm looking at this is for your youth, but Jesus above everything. And it's like, even marriage.
Sure.
And from him being above everything, he just flows into everything else. And Jesus is like, hey, man, even if you're married, come on, bring your wife now. Let's go. Come to the banquet.
Yeah. Crazy. It's, I don't know, kind of like what I said Sunday, is like, relationships are important, and I preach lots of sermons about togetherness and the power of each other and one another. Like, it's so vital, but we can't put those people above Jesus, right? I mean, it's not fair to them, it's not fair to us, it's dangerous, but so often we seem to like to do that.
Absolutely. I think it's, I don't know. For me, I think relationships is one of my hardest things, because I value people. You know, I want them to know Christ, and I feel like through relationships, like, somehow I'm going to lead them to Christ.
Sure.
And it's like, yeah, we plant seeds and whatnot, but ultimately, like, if that person worships you, that's not good. No. Ultimately, it's all about Jesus, all about what he's done for us. And the way that he fills us, I think this was probably my favorite part of your sermon, was you going through the people that Jesus filled, like the woman at the well. Man, she was empty. Like you could see it. Like just in the way that Jesus talks to her, I just imagine her on the verge of tears, just because she's experiencing the fullness of Jesus right then, right there. And he does that over and over and over again. I mean, he literally fed people. He takes Jairus's daughter. I mean, that guy was empty. I can't even imagine losing one of my kids or one of my kids being sick like that. And Jesus fills him up. He shows him what joy is. These people were empty. They were at, you know, the bottom of the bottom. And I look back on my own life, and I'm like, whenever I was at the lowest of lows is when I really experienced Jesus filling me up. And I'm not saying that we need to get there every time to really experience the filling of Jesus.
Sure.
But I think it's a good reminder to say, hey, look where I was and look how Jesus filled me up. Like remembering our story. I mean, Paul reminds us of his story all the time.
Right.
He's like, look who I was. I was
sure.
Killing Christians.
Right. I'm a chief sinner. I'm, you know, like he's a humble dude. At least he looks humble in scripture, right? That he was like, he always is, I'm a slave. I'm a, you know, he just does that so well.
I guess the question for me, and kind of wrapping this up, was what's on my plate? Like, what do I have that I think is filling me, but are just like Doritos and M&Ms?
Yeah.
Like, they taste good. Only if you eat the nacho cheese Doritos. Cool Ranch doesn't. But
right.
They'll satisfy us for a short period of time, but then we're hungry 30 minutes later.
Sure.
And, man, I mean, just like you, I can name off things like, I love video games. I love movies. I love,
definitely,
you know, all these things that aren't inherently bad, but I make them into an idol. And I so long for them to fill me. And every time I go to them, it's like, no, this isn't what's going to fill you. It's not the new year, new game of the year. It's not anything like that. It's Jesus.
Yeah. I know I'm a gamer too. A lot of times, and I'm, you know, you think you've had a day where you just want to veg out and get away. That's when I would usually, that's when I like the game the most. It's like, okay, I'm just going to sit and lose myself in this stupid game or whatever. And then you look up and it's 1 a.m. and you're like, what?
Why?
The next day you feel empty because you're tired. It just snowballs on top of itself. You know, if you don't fill up with the right stuff. And so often I don't, you know, and I need to.
Always have to check myself for the right balance.
Yeah.
You know, in school you learn the pyramid of what foods are healthy.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to eat some boudin every now and then. You know.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's not. It's super unhealthy for you, man. Like it's not.
Never had.
Anything from South Louisiana is in moderation. But it's. I think it's important for us to say, hey, these things in moderation, they're not bad.
Yeah.
They're good.
Right.
Sometimes they remind us of what's even better.
Sure.
Like whenever I get to, I find myself in this pattern, and I'll just give it as an example, and I don't think Heather would mind, is we put the kids to bed.
Yep.
7-ish, 7 o'clock-ish. Sometimes they don't always go to bed. Sometimes we have to deal with them. When they're sound asleep, Heather and I just have a couple of moments where we just talk.
Yep.
How's your day? What are you being filled with? What's draining you? Kind of like soul care.
Yeah.
If we don't do that, and we move on to whatever, like, we want to do, what show we want to watch, what video game we want to play, what book
we want to
read.
Work on something, read, yeah, whatever.
And it's not even bad. Sometimes I want to read, like, I'm reading The Unseen Realm, which is a biblical thing. If we don't set a time to be in Christ together, those things weigh heavy on me.
Sure.
Like, the things that I think will fill me actually drain me.
Yep.
And if we do that over a set course of a period of time, we see that we just feel like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, why do I keep going to this? It's like a drug that never satisfies.
Sure.
And then we get back on track and we're like, all right, we're spending time in the Word together. And then whenever I do those things that, you know, watch a movie, whatever, I don't feel guilty.
Yeah.
And I don't think guilty, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing. Like, when we feel guilt, we should figure out why.
Sure,
and
sure.
And it points us into the direction of Christ. And it's like, if I remember what's most important in Jesus Christ, and then everything else comes, everything else seems to flow.
Yeah. This is not a, I think you can find it in scripture, actually. There's a quote I really like from it's a guy's a writer, podcaster, kind of guy. His name's Jocko Willink. He's a Navy, ex-Navy SEAL, does a lot of leadership training now, and he has this mantra of discipline equals freedom.
Yeah.
And I find if I will be disciplined spiritually, then when I do watch an episode of a show at night, I don't have that guilt because I know I've been with the Lord. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's so many different things I've tried to, it's weird how, if I can be spiritually disciplined, there's just more freedom in my life. Like,
yeah.
Freedom from shame and guilt and those kind of things. Like, it's good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It's just kind of a mantra I've heard, and I've read a book of his called that. And, but I think even being spiritually disciplined is it's a huge thing. And yeah, I can feel the days I'm not,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I can feel the seasons I'm not, right? The yeah. week I'm not, like, I don't know. I can just feel those things.
No, and I think that's why there are so many books. I mean, I'm thinking of, I think it's Dallas Willard, his book on spiritual disciplines. It's, yeah. Man, whenever we are in those things, in those facets of grace and experiencing Christ, like you said, there's freedom through that.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, God's made everything in this world, and it's not bad.
Right.
I mean, we get to enjoy those things.
Sure.
But in light of who Jesus is,
yeah.
You know. I like that. I think that's a perfect place to hit the pause button. I feel like we could talk about this forever, but man, one of the ways we like to end this is what you're looking forward to. Do you have anything going on, either youth ministry wise or in your personal life?
I'm looking forward to. Most people would say it's crazy, but no, actually, before that, I got something before that. This weekend, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been going to this lake called Lake Jocassee on Labor Day, and there's like a ton of Galilee Christian Church camping folk that are there.
Yeah.
And it is just, the lake is beautiful. The fellowship with everybody else is beautiful. My favorite thing about banquets is beautiful. There's lots of food because they like, we have every night there's like this, it's a church potluck where everybody brings food.
Oh,
and
that's
it's
cool.
Just, there's a ton of adults, there's kids everywhere because there's just, but a bunch of kids, like it's just an awesome weekend.
Yeah.
And I look forward to it. You're in God's creation. Your only bad part is wearing a tent. Like, I can do 2 nights in a tent.
Yeah.
But I'm not like, after that, get me back in my bed. Why am I living like this, you know? Like,
yeah, I'll forgive Nick since I'm preaching this Sunday, and he's like, hey, give it to the new guys since we're going camping. It sounds fun though. I'll be there next year.
Hey, there's been times where I think a couple of years ago, me and him both had to drive back. I was like helping with worship, and there was not anybody else. So I was leading worship. He was preaching, and we just rode back together. And we rode back down together to the camping site together.
Yeah.
But it's nice to have qualified people like yourself who can step in the pulpit and tell people some James, man.
Yeah, man.
I was thinking doing.
I think it kind of, and, you know, piggybacks off of what you preached. And so that's what I'm excited for, is to get that opportunity to preach, because I know I'm preaching to myself more than anything.
Sure.
And whoever's here just gets to experience me preaching to myself. So it's good.
That's good. Look forward to hearing it.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. We'll wrap this thing up, and we'll see you guys next week.
See you.